So many designers spend their days feeling busy, underwater, on a hamster wheel, just out of control with the number of things that need to get done inside of a single day and all of their active projects. And if you were to come to us with that problem, I need support in my business today, ASAP, yesterday. This is what we have learned you will need to do in order to do that in a way that feels controlled. So it actually gives you back some peace of mind inside of your day.
Yeah. Here's the shit about this is it gets worse before it gets better. That's just the reality of just getting into the mindset of where you're at. There's so much going on. You need support fast. However, to control that support and give you systems that also align with the services you sold and managing client expectations takes two additional systems that you likely do not have in your company.
And if you don't have them, you get busy and you go, it's time for me to hire. Makes sense as a thought process. Time for me to hire. Hire what? What is the job description? Let's say you found the perfect person and they come in. How are you managing them? How are you coaching them? How are you getting them to give you any relief? All you're going to do is create this exact same problem on top of another person unless you have this triangle strategy that we're going to talk to you about today. And Shayna Rose, over the course of all our years working with interior designers, you have approached this triangle, how many? 80,000 ways more? Always with the same intention to give the designer back some freedom to be able to help them delegate in a way that will serve a profitable project. And now we've cracked the code. And so in this next 30 plus minutes, we're going to give you that code crack so that if that sounds like you, I need help. I am so busy. I have 10 million things on my brain. You know what you need to do about it.
Yeah. This is a very hard moment when you need that help and you're really ready to grow the business in a controllable way. And that's like the key word.
Congratulations, by the way.
Yeah, the key word of this whole thing is control.
Mm-hmm.
Control the money, control the tasks. And the biggest thing that almost every designer or business owner in this transition struggles to delegate. And if you're speaking to an accountant's going to also try to question and ensure that who you're paying and what you're paying out has profitability, controlled profitability associated to that. So there's a lot going on now. Money is more than just money coming into your pocket, and we've got to build a true business. So what needs to happen at this point in time? I need an assistant. I need to also have all these systems. Okay, here's basically with all the iterations that Evelyn said, if I was going to give you a 3-month strategy on all the things that you need to do, you need to buckle up and realize that, yes, this is going to be a chapter where you're working way more hours than I'd like you to and is a little bit imbalanced for quantity of working hours, but we're going to be working towards a purpose so that by the end of this 3-month journey, you have the tools to work within the 40-hour work week parameters and also work half of that on your business and your business, all the things. Okay. System number one that you probably don't have is a way to manage your tasks.
Well, is system number one truly the pricing model, which I know we've talked about a million times. And so go back and listen to all of our episode titles that say pricing. You will have that checked off. But truly, if you were coming to us brand new, you've never listened to this podcast, you've never worked with us before, we're going to put pricing model at the top of our triangle. But we have so much education already about that out there that now we're moving on to, let's say, bottom right part of this triangle. All equally important, triangle can't exist without balance, is your task management, your operations.
Yeah, totally. That is month one, right? If I was going to give you a 3-month strategy, month one is fixing your pricing model, ensuring that you can estimate your projects on operational hours. However you want to close that, listen to our way of doing that. Or if you're still closing flat fee, don't care, but convert that to operational hours that are connected to money hourly and payout has a clean rate of return.
Going back to that word of the day, that is where you control your profitability. No matter how many people you're bringing in, no matter what you're having them do, no matter how you're structuring that, you are in control of every single project you have running and what that profit margin will be at the end.
Yep. Okay. Step two, here comes the new systems. By treating your projects that you sold as operational hours, now we need to estimate and schedule those hours onto a calendar. So you're going to enhance your project kickoff. You're getting everyone integrated into technologies and your organizational systems. We also need to schedule this project. If you're working with us, you'll have a pricing tool that estimates these hours by the phase of the project. Or if not, listen to the episode and create this tool yourself. When that project closes, we know roughly how long things are going to take. If it's just a furnishing, it might just be a 2-week concept phase. If it's a renovation, it could be 4 weeks. If it's a new build, depending on where it's at, it could be 6 to 8 weeks. So yes, we're making assumptions. That's what projections are. They're assumptions based on educated guessing. So don't take it too far. There's the concept. It's a furnishing. It's estimated to take between 10 and 15 hours. I always recommend schedule minimum hours only. And now we're saying this is going to take 2 weeks, 10 hours a week. You pop up a Google Calendar, you say Smith Project, concept phase, week one, 10 hours. And just have someone schedule this out by phase because things will change as the project evolves. So concept goes a little bit longer. You're not having to like change 6-12 months of scheduled project time. Okay. What does this very simple step allow us to do? It allows us to have a Monday operational routine that says, here's all my projects on a calendar. Here's how many billable hours I need to schedule. And now you should be able to return to your pricing tool to schedule those tasks out, or hopefully have a project to-do list with estimated hours associated. And now we're going to simply make assignments. So in this new task management branch, there should be, if you're working with us, it's quick and dirty into a spreadsheet first. But what you're looking to do is have all your projects on a spreadsheet, be able to make those assignments with the estimated time. Recommend putting a filter on that so that you can then, after you've made all the assignments on billable hours, put a filter on by person on your team. And then, super important step, list that in order of priority. And as Evelyn would say, there is only one priority, and that spreadsheet will allow you to ensure that you have that list. And if you're having issues with execution and you're listening to this and you already have a team, that might be an eye-opener to you to showcase like, wow, this person just has too many priorities on their plate. And that's a different conversation about diversifying roles and things like that.
Going back to the word of the day, you are now in control of how your projects are moving forward, what is getting done week over week to make sure that your process is staying consistent for every single project you run. You are in control of the people on your team, not only what they're doing, but in what order and how long they're spending on things so that things can't get out of control, go down the rabbit hole, or land on your desk before you needed it. And you are just in control of your week. When will you be needed to oversee something? When will you need to provide your revision so things can keep moving forward? This is the control that allows you to stop laying in bed at night going through the to-do list and trying to figure out what got missed or what's going sideways, because you've done the work. We've given you the tools, and then you've done the work to keep your operations locked in.
Yeah. You're creating a COO. You have to be the COO first before you can have a COO. The systems have to make sense to you. It has to have your brain integrated into it. Or even sometimes the spreadsheet is done and everything is there, but people just need to rework it visually for what makes sense. There's so many little things. You have to do the work first.
Or people come to us and they're like, I use Asana and I want to put it in there first. Okay, great. We'll use all the technologies in the world alongside you. But let's use this tool. Use it for a few of those Monday operational shifts. Figure out what questions you were still asking yourself, or what information you wish was color-coded, or where you want someone to be able to tag you in. Because it's going to take longer to set that up in Asana, for an example. And then those changes become even that much more trickier to make. So get it working exactly how you want it and then integrate the technologies to enhance and take it further.
Also, this aspect you have to dump. Once you have a spreadsheet template, a lot of times you're going backwards. So you, even if we enhanced a pricing tool and gave you all the systems so that you could streamline your delegation and price your jobs quickly, you still have to go backwards and do a quick and dirty dump of saying, this is where the project at, this is the basic to-do list, this is roughly the chunk of hours I'd like to spend in these categories, and it all goes to a spreadsheet. Technology is an enhancement. I'm not even talking, we're not going there in the first 3 months. We're just not going there.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say too. Remember that this is a 3 month strategy. 3 months from underwater to laying on a pool float saying, thank God.
Yeah.
3 months. Imagine.
Now, there's one other key piece that matters in these Monday operational systems. So returning to, we looked at the calendar told us how many hours for a particular project needed to get scheduled. You have a to-do list or that pricing tool for that project allows you to easily make assignments and put that into your task management spreadsheet. You go through all the projects, you then filter by every single person on your team in order of priority. And here's the last piece, two choices here. Either you simplify your delegation and say, from this line up, I need everything by this day and this time. And maybe there's a meeting and you're a live delegator and you give live feedback so everything's prepared. Or maybe you're not and you can just execute reviewing those deliverables around that day and time that you know everything's coming to you.
Yep. You're always going to know you've blocked your schedule on Wednesday afternoons from 4 so that you can come back and give your team the answer that they need. Whether that's, I like to work at my desk and know that I can see everything and shoot things out. Whether that's your team meeting where you're meeting in the middle, you have to figure out how you're going to work this for yourself because you are still that final point of approval.
Yeah. Second option is you're scheduling everything with a specific date and a specific time. And that's a little bit more weedy and a little bit more time, but you could have purpose around that as well because your schedule is tight and it matters that much to be able to coordinate a larger team because admin's got to do this by Tuesday so that drafter can do this on Wednesday and I can review on Thursday. So there are some instances where if you have more than I'm delegating to this person and it's coming back to me, you have more people who are variables on your team, then yeah, you have to get into a little bit more specific delegation. And here's the reason why. People are going to work how they feel. We all are like that. Whether I'm feeling creative or I just needed something a little brainless right now, a lot of times that assistant isn't thinking through all the things or might not even know all the things because they're only doing what they're told to know you have a client meeting on Thursday, you need that presentation on Tuesday because that'll give you time to revise. And they just did a whole order procurement that they could have just done half of and also given me the presentation. Not their fault. You don't tell them when you want it, and most importantly, in what order, especially you just have one assistant. And we're not going to stray down the rabbit hole of this conversation, but one assistant, you are duplicating yourself that we do not want to duplicate. We don't want to duplicate you. You already wear too many hats. And initially, we're going to give that, you're going to have that so they can sprinkle amongst. But the reality is, you need multiple people on your team so you have multiple to-do lists on that Monday and that when you hit that filter and you see your team and the specific roles they do, that now instead of having one priority that you can manage and one priority that that one assistant can manage, you have your full piece team that you will always have 4 priorities that can be juggled. There's more around that, but we'll just leave it at that. So those are the operational systems. And last thing I'm going to say in the tough love, the spreadsheet does not work if you don't use it.
I'm so glad you said that.
So if you are someone who is already drowning and you cannot stay accountable to maintaining these systems, that's fine. And you're like, but Shay, you just said I had to be the COO first. Yeah, you got to know how to use it. You got to be the one to dump into it. You have to be the one to at least have it operating and updated for 2 weeks. That's where it's at. You have to know all the things and know how to jump in and know where to find your information.
And that comes back to control.
Oh, true that.
Because let's say we bring someone in to support you in this. I don't want to have to make all the assignments, or I don't want to have to set the due dates. I need someone to support me in that. Fair enough. But you're going to question them, ask them, when is this due? No, bookmark your operations spreadsheet. All those answers are there. You are now asking them to change their priorities and what they're working on to go get you an answer that, sorry, you business owner should be able to answer, period.
Evelyn always is so good at bringing me back in moments, which we haven't had many of this year.
Huh.
I'm going to knock on the desk there and get myself a pat on the back. But it's that control. It comes back to control. If you are laying in bed, and this was years of my life, close to a decade, I have to admit that it took probably longer than hopefully I will help any of you get there. But swimming in panic and anxiety, you are dreaming work. Literally, like you wake up and you're like, I've done this before. Oh my God, we forgot to do this thing. It was like in my sleep. Or you're like, did we do this? Where is this? You're always very just
reactive.
Reactive. Yeah. With your team, you're in a state of panic.
High frequency.
Super high frequency. Even if you're not the one managing it day to day, it's the tool that you should know, like Evelyn said, to bookmark, to return into. You're panicking if the team followed up on something or what's going on or when something is completed or if they're on it. Go to the project tab, look at all the tasks that are assigned, and here's the enhancement. If it doesn't have all the information you need at the time to control your panic, make them put it on there, like enhancement. And it's not a quick 5-minute thing that's going to get to success. There's another episode where we go on about little changes, not taking 5 minutes and taking time to develop and strategize and make sure it's done correctly. But quick and dirty leads to enhancements on a manual spreadsheet to help you ensure the information that you need to see on a weekly basis is in front of your face. And then technology comes in to make it a little bit more efficient, a little bit prettier, and a little bit faster at the jump. But when you bring it in too soon, then you're just wasting time down the line. And I know there's many clients with us. I would wager like half of clients with us at minimum have poured time into technologies and they come work with us and they're like, I don't even use it. I don't even know it.
Technologies, plural. Oh, I'm going to try this one now. Oh, would this one be a good solution for me? Like if you're technology jumping, there's a deeper problem we should address.
Yeah. Technology isn't fixing. It's enhancing. It makes things efficient when the processes and systems are there. We were mind blown this week by what an AI technology did through prompts with all the data, with the spreadsheets, with the whole understanding. That foundation had to be there. And then AI made magic. We were a little bit like, holy, there's a big thing coming with us for what some investigation we're doing behind the scenes. But again, you can't get there without the foundation of the work. And through that foundation of simple systems and spreadsheets, you're embodying everything you know to look at, everything you know to see. There's no limitations of what you want on that report. There's really not. There's just basically an analysis that Evelyn would do to me. Is it worth the time?
Mm-hmm.
The more you layer on, the more time it is, the bigger this spreadsheet, the more. So making sure that there's not redundancies. Is the information you're asking for on one report living on another port? Can you link reports? And you know what? Sometimes the answer is, even though the answer lives someplace else, I don't give a I want it on that spreadsheet. And that's what makes it work for me. And I understand it takes a little bit more time, but for me, I need it. If you can basically know that you're making that decision to spend a little bit more money to make it in a way that works for you, fine. But always questioning and at least having someone to say, like Evelyn would do, it lives over here. Is it completely necessary? Do we need to really do that? Is it worth the extra 10 minutes a week annualized over 12 months? A lot of times it's a yes.
Yep.
A lot of times Evelyn's constantly coming to me saying those things. I'm like, yeah, I don't care.
Yep. And then it's done intentionally. And guess what? Anything done intentionally is done with control. Fine.
Big time. Control. Okay, so we have our task management operational systems being integrated.
You know how to run it.
You set the foundation. Yep.
You know how to use it to control your own brain. Then we're ready to move on. What's the third point of the triangle, Shayna?
So I would say these operational systems are your top of week systems. Now we have end of week systems that do still tie into this task management and operation just with an extra layer.
And tie into the pricing model. It's all connected.
It's all connected. So end of week systems. We got to manage the money and the project for where it's at. Is it on track? Is it behind? Are we executing the scope that we originally priced? All those things. And then we have to manage the client and their expectations. I always say when I work with people on the pricing model, interior design projects are a series of upsells. If you're not upselling and you're not thinking that the project is not finished with the sale after I sell the big interior design fee, and I'm not talking product, I'm talking explicitly interior design service fees, you are wrong. And it is the retainer management systems that do the upselling. If you have a lot of stories of emotional clients, and this is an emotional gig here, all right? People are spending tons of money. They're humans. You can't just like take emotions out of a human.
They don't know what you know.
You're dealing with tons of different types of human. You might have a contractor, multiple trades. You got the client going on.
Even just the married partnership of the client, you've got two different personalities there with two different priorities.
100%. You've got different levels of experience in executing design or anything. If they're a first timer and they've never spent this much money in design and or spent this much money purchasing on furnishings, you don't manage that. They're crashing out. I know a ton of you are laughing on this call because it just happens. It's a part of the game. Another thing I say is, as an interior designer, it is not just your sole job to design beautiful spaces. It's not. It's half your job.
If only.
It's half your job for that client is to design them a beautiful space. The other half is helping them get through the project emotionally and helping them manage the money they want to spend. And that means keeping your service fee in alignment with what you said, but also protecting yourself to ensure that your profitability is consistent and basically you're always giving them A's and B's to stay inside the lines or offer your service for additional fees if it's going to exceed.
Because they will ask you for scope ads. They will ask you for extra options. They will ask you, of course. And if you're always saying yes, that's on you.
And that's one variable. That's one human. What happens when the contractor is involved and you have no idea the level of support he needs and this nitwit has every single answer he needs in the contractor binder set, yet he's just ripping you on the phone. Like, what are we doing? Or the trades have no idea what they're doing, even though you've given everything to the general contractor. But as typical, they're going to sub everything out and their communication and leadership sucks. And now you have all of these individualized trades.
How many of us are just nodding slowly? Like
And this is why I listen to the pricing model conversation. I don't like the flat fees. You can sell them. You can control them. That's fine. With tight control, don't care.
We're not going to tell you what to do.
But you still need these systems because the retainer management systems or your design fee management systems is what is going to save you in terms of ensuring you don't break your flat fee boundaries. And I think once you realize when you're tracking it that consistently, you realize you really want a loose flat fee. That's really what we're talking about here.
Yep. We call it hybrid, but that really is what it is.
We're giving you a loose flat fee. It's just a loose flat fee that says we're agreeing that I need a minimum of these hours, but we might fall inside of this range that's 20 or 30% above your minimum fee for all these uncontrollable variables. And my job is to manage that we stay inside the lines and put you on notice if you're adding scope and we're going to exceed fees. So the client management systems is actually the lesser of the systems that we have to worry about. There's two sides of the end of week systems, notifying clients in whatever way you're doing that. It could be as needed if there's just a concern. It could be weekly, that's heavy. It could be bi-weekly, okay. But really, you could just stop at the end of phases inside of a project and just communicate as needed with that client if these notices need to be sent out to them, or these A and B options of here's how you stay inside the lines, or yeah, we could just keep going and that's totally fine. We're falling outside of our process a little bit and it might cost us a little extra at the end of the project, but if you're good with it, I'm good with it. How you do that is negotiable to what you want your client experience to be.
Yeah.
The main system that is non-negotiable, that is happening every single week, is the internal reporting to you as the owner, knowing how much time did we bill on each project, understanding did everything get complete that we need to get complete, or are there things that are behind for the week, and having those moments that are critical stopping points in the project to cross-reference the contract to ensure that what we quoted and as the scope evolves is the same scope. We make a lot of assumptions when we're pricing this job. After concept, we know a lot of things. They opt into doing wall coverings and window treatments. There's a lot of variables in there. Or as you've set the furnishing space plans, is the procurement list the same item count as you originally expected? Or did it grow? Did the client all of a sudden want you to do the linens and the sheets and the TV and just go to town with you in that concept phase because you've won them over? Many, many points of alignment. Listen to the retainer management episode we did in full.
Contracts and retainer management. It was episode 11.
Yeah. So the big one I want to talk about, though, is the internal system, why this matters, and also how it ties together. Okay, talked about the top of week systems. We've set up the week. We know billable hours. We know what everyone needs to do. End of week comes. All of these actual hours that we clocked need to go get input onto the same task management spreadsheet. At least for how we built our spreadsheet out, we made it change a color. So if you tracked actually more time on something than you were estimated, that color pops out and that triggers retainer management. There's a bunch of things that that's going to trigger. So we update statuses at the end of the week. We are inputting time logs and reconciling those time logs against estimated hours that we should have spent. And between the actual hours and the status of where that thing is will trigger you to either take action or not. We clock the time and the thing's complete. Great. Awesome. We spent the amount of time we were supposed to, and it's still not complete. We're waiting on vendor. We're delayed. There's really two lenses to take this from. It's us or it's them. And them is a big bucket of people. If it's us, remember I said, schedule your tasks off of minimum estimated hours. You're going to have a 20 to 30% swing on that. So if it's not done and you're like, it's us, we're just spending way too long in here, then you have contingency. You have this extra chunk of hours that you've now triggered yourself to be like, okay, we got to wrap this up. I am going into the weeds. I got to get it in front of the client. It's us. Now, if it's them, client, contractor, trade, vendor, that might trigger the notice. And retainer management to the client feels like this. Putting you on notice, it's taking you a little longer. No additional cost. We're totally within the range. Notice, 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 notice. We're exceeding fees. You think that client is surprised after they've gotten the notice that they've been using kind of the higher side to get us through this phase, but we're still within range. And we're using the higher, but we're still within range. If it's a scope ad, we're definitely exceeding. Don't just say we're within range. We're definitely going to be exceeding by the time we get to the end of this project. And again, once you get to the point where we're at the point where we're going to start exceeding, then you drop in your A's and B's. Okay, here's how we stay inside the lines, or we're going to need more. And clients, some care about money. Some just care about getting it done their way. Don't care. I want to go to the D&D again. I want to sit on the sofas. Fine. You don't care. We're going to exceed. Let's just go do it again. As long as we're being compensated, who cares?
Exactly. At the end of the day, you'll feel fulfilled when you know you're earning what you deserve from that time. It'll stop feeling like a suck to your energy and your soul, like you're going so far out of bounds, like you're being taken advantage of. I hear these hot emotional words all the time. But when it's cha-ching, 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 it'll feel like a totally different emotional landscape with this client.
Yeah. So the tail end systems, they tie into that same spreadsheet operationally. And then there's just one more spreadsheet that's more simple in managing the money. Where are we at with the client's credit? Simple things like what payment have we collected? In what phase? It's really just more of that simple money management. That might be where you layer in the scope ads if they are adding to the scope so that they can easily manage that from the outside. That's just money management.
Mm-hmm. Control the bottom line. Control the dollar signs.
Mostly, you don't even need to be in those heavily unless you were basically like, I just want to see what my incoming money is, which is a different spreadsheet. We can all make that connect. But if you were just like, I need to see how close we are to collecting the next payment on a project, that'd probably be the only reason why you'd go in that outside retainer management spreadsheet. Mostly, it is the task management spreadsheet that is the heart and soul. Starts in the pricing tool spreadsheet, and then that information migrates to scheduling that onto a different template that start your week in terms of making assignments, prioritizing what needs done, communicating your deadlines.
Setting deadlines.
Yep. And then your end of week systems that put in all the actuals. You made estimations and projections now, what actually happened. And you can do all of that retainer management analysis on a Monday and say, okay, eventually when you're delegating this, retainer management team updates the statuses, adds the time logs, and ultimately all that and your operations officer can then make assumptions of assignments so that on that's your Monday operation day. You're approving assignments, you're approving priority, and you're talking about the tasks that have turned red on that spreadsheet that took more time. And analyzing that with your team. Was it us or was it them? And what is the notice that's going to your client? And those client notification emails will be a massive archive as you get this going, because you'll find that there's a lot of commonalities of things that happen, that it takes a little bit more time to get it going and approve it with your team. But then you're like, archive that to our system of procedure, because the next time this happens, we'll just use the same template. It's basically pre-approved and you'll be able to send that out. So this kind of just wraps this all up to like time. This is where we're going back to the beginning and saying why I said this was the hardest chapter to get control of. You're already underwater. These are new systems that require time to build the foundation and also initially manage those, but also even once you delegate them, have a little bit more time in your routine to be consistently looking at the reports.
Go backwards to all the projects that weren't set up like this from the beginning. We know what we're asking from you. We're not delusional over here like, oh, this is the easiest 3-month system. No.
No, but we're going to work with purpose. If you've been working the 60, 70 hour weeks, this is the work with purpose to not burn out. Work intentionally towards control. System of procedure is not this conversation, but it is what wraps around. If we're going to wrap our triangle and put it under the tree, it's wrapped with wrapping paper made by our system of procedures. If you need to just have that visual. But it all matters. Control is what we're looking for. We're looking to be able to go away for a month and return back. And money still flushing through the business. Clients were being communicated. Tasks were flowing. And you don't come back to being totally drowned.
Imagine.
It happened. Imagine.
3 months to get you on that path. Use it. Enhance it. Live by it. And you'll be there in no time.
Yeah. And I'm not going to lie. More work to do after 3 months. I'm not saying we have a 3-month magical journey here.
Totally. I said you're on the path.
On the path. We're on the magic carpet now. But after that, it becomes focusing a lot more on human success, creating systems that work with the human first. And then all that documentation will come after. And now you've built a business. But that would be the triangle you're looking to do and accelerate and get yourself out of this panic and into a state of control.
Control.
If today's episode really hit home, I want you to listen closely. Even if you're feeling underwater, overwhelmed, or feeling like you have zero control over your day, your projects, or your team, there is a way out. It starts with 3 systems that we discussed: your pricing model, your task management operations, and your end-of-week internal reporting. That is your triangle. And when all three points are connected, you stop surviving in your business and you start running it.
And here's the reality. You can't hire your way out of chaos. You also can't buy a technology that fixes a broken foundation, and you cannot skip the work. We know it can feel like a lot to ask when you're already drowning, but if you commit to just 3 months of working with purpose, building these systems, and staying consistent, you will look up and realize that you are finally getting in control.
So here's your next step. Pick one system from the triangle and start working on it this week. Maybe that's finally building out your task management spreadsheet so you can see every project, every assignment, and every priority in one place. Maybe it's setting up your end of week reporting so you stop waking up at 2 a.m. wondering if something was overlooked. Maybe it's getting your pricing model tight enough so you know exactly what every project costs you in time. Just pick one system and start there.
If you're at the point where you know you need these systems but you don't know where to start, or if you've tried to DIY it and ended up more confused than when you began, it's time to stop trying to figure this out alone. We have walked so many designers just like you through this exact 3-month journey, and we will meet you exactly where you are. So if you're ready to stop winging it and start working it with a real system, schedule a free call with us at 4designerbusiness.com or click the link in the show notes.
If today's episode gave you that clarity you've been needing, please help us reach more designers just like you by taking a moment to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you're listening. New episodes drop every single Tuesday, so be sure to subscribe so you never miss one. And remember, you can send us your anonymous voicemails at 4designerbusiness.com. Maybe you're drowning in active projects with no systems in place. Maybe you hired someone and it just made things worse. Whatever your question is, send it in and you just might receive free coaching on a future episode.
Listen, control is not something that just happens to you. It's something you build system by system, week by week. The designers who make it, the ones who build the business and the life they've always dreamed of, they're the ones who did the boring foundational work when nobody was watching. They stayed consistent, they chose control over chaos, and you can too.
So take action today. Build the triangle, trust the process, and stop waiting for things to calm down before you start, because they won't calm down until you do. If you need us, we're here. Schedule that free call with us and let's build this together. Until next time, keep designing and keep dreaming.
Whoop, whoop.